This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello and welcome to Paranormal Pets. My name is Brandi Stark and we are here today with Dr. Doug Kenevan, who is a holistic practitioner who also represents the ARE organization. So this is super exciting. I'm very much looking forward to talking with him about holistic medicine, spirituality, and an upcoming conference that he has. So we will get started with that right after these messages.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And welcome back. And we have Dr. Doug Kenevan with us, who has been practicing holistic veterinary medicine since 1995. He is a certified veterinarian acupuncturist, chiropractic practitioner, and also works with Chinese herbology. Dr. Doug has researched the Edgar Cayce readings, applying many of the concepts in his daily life and vet practices. He is the coordinator for the Pittsburgh area ARE team, and recently served on the ARE board. He speaks nationally and internationally and was recognized as the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association's Holistic Teacher of the Year in 2018. He also delivered the Cayce-inspired keynote lecture at their 2021 conference. So we are so delighted to have you on here, Dr. Doug. And wow, it just... what a pedigree. You have really worked very, very hard. And that is quite an award to have won as well. So welcome to Paranormal Pets.
Thank you. It's really great to be here, Brandi. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, we're going to start off with a very basic question. What exactly is holistic medicine? How does this work when it comes to pet care?
Oh, that's good. I'm glad we're starting right there at the very beginning. So holistic medicine is the idea that, you know, there's more to health than just the body, what's going on with the body. So holistic medicine is about body, mind, and spirit. We're addressing all of those because you really can't have perfect health unless you're healthy in all those levels.
That's right. And then when you mention, does that also go into the acupuncture element and the herbology?
They all sure, you bet.
Okay, that's interesting.
You know, with acupuncture, the idea of acupuncture is that there's an energy in the body. It's more than just flesh and blood, that there's this vital energy that the Chinese called qi, and the acupuncture meridians are channels for the flow of this energy, and the points are places where you can access that energy more easily.
Excellent. Yes. And as we kind of go through, I will tell you a little bit about my experiences using a holistic vet and also my own experience using acupuncture, both for myself and for the pet. So kind of interesting. I guess I am their pet, so it counts, right?
That's right.
Now, why did you decide to go holistically? What got you into this practice?
Yeah, that's a good question too. You know, I graduated from veterinary school in 1987. And it took a couple of years, and I'm sure you've experienced this where you're in school and you're reading the books, everything's black and white, right? And then you get out into the real world and you're faced with shades of gray. And sometimes it seems like there could be as many as 50 shades of gray.
Yes, I get it. But better written.
Yeah. But, you know, I realized that things didn't always go the way the book said they should go. There'd be an animal and I'd give them a medication. Instead of them getting better, they had side effects. And then there'd be another animal where according to the book, this one should have just passed away, and yet they're thriving. And I soon learned there had to be more to health and healing than what I learned about in veterinary school. And that's what got me onto the path of holistic medicine. And I started one class at a time. And, you know, before you know it, I was doing all these different things.
That's interesting. So I'm sure the listeners here have heard this before, but I had a pug by the name of Odyssey, and he was my beloved pug. It's hard to explain. I am a pug owner. I'm a third generation. We don't breed. We've done rescue, although recently my mother's aged. And so, you know, I'm kind of at my pug limit and she's at hers. But Odyssey, it's hard to explain to folks, but there are those pets that you sometimes have that connection with, and they're more than just pets. And you know when there's and he was one. And in fact, you know, I oftentimes joke that he actually may have reincarnated into another one of my pugs, which just sounds really bizarre to folks, but, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. But he was diagnosed, it was cancer of the blood vessels. And
hemangiosarcoma.
That's the one. Basically, what happened was he had a seizure, and I took him to the vet, and it turns out I thought it was medication, or I had put some, I did use flea spray at the time, on him, and I thought it was a reaction to that, and they ended up doing x-rays, and they discovered this tumor. And what was interesting is they did opt to remove the spleen because that was the first spot that it formed, but they then told me he'd have to undergo chemotherapy, and I said, well, will this hurt? You know, I mean, chemo's not fun for people, and they said, oh, no, it doesn't hurt animals, and I'm looking, I mean, I looked this up and it talks about blood in the stools and all sorts. And I'm thinking, that hurts. I don't care what you I don't think that's quite right. And so I actually opted to go holistic with him. So I did have the surgery. He had a total of 2 surgeries and that was it. He was only given 6 months after the diagnosis of the first tumor, but I did go to a local holistic vet. She did both acupuncture and we had him on several different herbs as well. And the other thing, and this is why I love what you mentioned with the spiritual element, and this may sound strange to folks, but I teach a lot of religious studies classes and I had guest speakers. I teach various colleges. And one of the guest speakers was a Buddhist monk and they had a healing ceremony coming up. And I said, well, how do you feel about animals? And I love the Buddhists because they're like, oh yeah, come on. I'm waiting for them.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes. So, and I did go and I actually had an experience. I went on behalf of my little boy of Odyssey. And I had brought, I think, his collar and his medication. And I'm very, the academic part of my brain is very skeptical. So I sat in the very back so I could observe everything because that's what a good academic does. You know, I always make sure I eat and I was hydrated because, you know, my mother, I'm an only child as well, and she's paranoid. So I'm like, no, see, Mom, they can't slip me anything because I'm full and I am, you know, quite healthy now. And, you know, but it was just the way she was. But anyway, I got in there and I'm sitting in the very back and we're doing some of the chanting and it's freezing in this room and I'm under the vent. And I mean, the women next to me are pulling on their shawls. I mean, it is so cold. And I kind of closed my eyes for a second. I was listening to these chants and all of a sudden I actually saw a blue flame behind my eyes, like seeing this flame. And I felt a pressure on my head, like somebody was actually putting their hand on my head and blessing.
Wow.
It was the strangest thing. And after the event was over, I mean, I remember even looking around and nobody was looking at me and it was just for me, I guess. And afterwards, I mentioned this to the monk and he said, well, you know, the Buddha of healing is represented by blue light. And I will be darned if Odyssey survived. He was 9 years old. He made it to 15, without having to go through chemo or radiation, you know, or any of that. And I really think the holistic element for that, but I also think there was something to the spiritual. So I really appreciate that you bring that up. So I'm kind of curious, have you witnessed anything along those lines in your practice?
I have a couple of stories for you. One was early on in my career. I got to know this couple and they had a Doberman Pinscher named King. And King was, you know, Dobermans, they have this reputation of being guard dogs and vicious. He was so sweet, and usually they are. And he was a wonderful dog. And he got to be around 6 years old. And the owners thought, well, you know, he's a big dog. He might not last much, you know, a whole lot longer. And they didn't want to be without a dog. So they got a new puppy to raise with him so that when he passed on, they would have the new dog. And the new dog was Linda. And Linda and King just became as one. I mean, they were two peas in a pod. They took care of each other. And King went on to live until he was about 16 or 17 years old. And then he started having behavioral problems. He had cognitive dysfunction, and he started becoming aggressive and biting the owners and biting Linda. And the owners knew that this just wasn't him. And it was a very difficult situation. And you know, we were talking about what we could do. We tried some things and nothing seemed to work. So I was counseling them about euthanasia. And as this process a lot of times goes, I was on and off the phone with them for, you know, a couple of times on this one day. I think it was a Friday, come to think of it. And finally, at the last call, they said, okay, they set up an appointment for the next day. And then I'm in the exam room, and the receptionist comes and gets me that they're on the phone again. They're rushing their dog to the office right away. I thought, oh my, you know, what happened to King? No, it was Linda. Linda just passed out, and she was DOA when she came to the office. She was already gone. And I strongly believe that she was so attached to King, and that she knew that the decision had been made to end his life. She said, I don't want to be the only dog. And she checked out. So I am convinced that, you know, Linda saw the writing on the wall and decided to get out of there before she was going to be alone.
Oh, yeah, it is interesting. I always end up with usually siblings. I keep a grumble of pugs and I do kind of some generations. And it's interesting because I have had one sister outlast the other, or one brother outlive the other. And you definitely see that change. And I think, you know, it's so important that people remember that animals do become bonded and they do grieve. That is wild. I feel badly for Linda there. I feel badly for that whole couple. Oh my gosh.
I know. It's terrible. I mean, their whole goal was not to be without a dog, and boom, you know, Linda blew up their plan. But you know, animals have their own plans. And in fact, I don't even like to call them pets because, you know, a pet is something you own, but really they own us, right?
That's right. That is true. I tell folks, I paid off the mortgage, but I pay the bills here. The house is the pug's house. So they were here before anybody else. So they get the rules, but it is interesting. And I think part of what I've done with paranormal pets, what I've been trying to do, is paranormal and animals, I mean, they do fit together. I've studied this for many years. But I think the other element that I love talking about is the cognizance within animals, the free will within animals, you know, and I think the West is a little slow in catching up. We're catching up, don't get me wrong now, but it seems like we didn't quite get that for quite some time. And I think things like the pandemic, you know, this mass population, people are packed into cities, but more depressed than ever. And you know, we don't deal well with each other, unfortunately, but that animal placement, that pet placement, I think has brought people and animals together. And I think folks are seeing that now. So it is really interesting to see. Guys, if you heard that story, none of you are allowed to do that. Okay. No, pugs. Yeah, y'all got to all hang out with me. Now, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. And then when we get back, we'll talk about how the holistic ideas fit with Edgar Cayce and his teachings, and maybe find out a few things that Edgar Cayce said about animals. I think that would be quite interesting. So we will be right back after these messages.
Now, time for something really scary. A word from our sponsors. Paranormal pets will reappear before you can say Bigfoot. Don't run away.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Did you hear that? Our commercials have mysteriously disappeared. Paranormal Pets is back with our haunted host, our ghost host,
Brandi Stark.
Okay, and welcome back. So, you are part of ARE, which stands for?
The Association for Research and Enlightenment.
And a lot of that is based upon the teachings of Edgar Cayce. And who exactly, if somebody hasn't heard of him, how would you describe Edgar Cayce? Who was he?
So Edgar Cayce started the ARE in 1931. He was basically a psychic. And really, his work started as kind of a medical intuitive. And there were thousands of cases that were given up on by conventional medicine. And he was able to guide them to solutions for their problems. And they were holistic solutions. So a lot of people consider Edgar Cayce the father of holistic medicine. And as time went on, people started asking him more spiritual questions. And that's where kind of the whole spirit part of body, mind, spirit came through him. And it's interesting because he was very much a fundamentalist Christian. In fact, he read the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, all the way through once for every year of his life. So he started when he was like 8 or 9, and he read the Bible a couple of times the first few years just to get caught up. And then he made this a regular practice. And when he gave a reading, he was in such a deep trance that he wasn't aware of what he was saying. And eventually, information came through him that was very, very challenging to his religious beliefs. So things like reincarnation. And, you know, he had to really work with what was coming through him to accept it, really. But the whole thing of spirituality was, you know, something that came through him. He was talking about the benefits of meditation back in the 1930s. I mean, when we here in the Western world weren't even thinking about that kind of thing. And it's interesting because, you know, you were asking about animals. He never did any readings for animals, but there were several people who asked about their pet in a reading. In fact, I believe that 4 different people asked about one particular dog who is always, her name was Mona, but they always referred to her as the little dog Mona. So she was a little Pomeranian. And someone asked, have I had a previous lifetime with the little dog Mona? And he said, yes, in your Roman lifetime. And they asked, was she a dog then? And he said, no, she was a lion. Now, you can picture this little Pomeranian all puffed up like a tiny little lion. And here he is telling them she was a lion. And probably some people thought this was a joke, but he was very consistent with several different people. And then one person asked if they had a lifetime with Mona. And he said, no, I don't see a lifetime that you had with her. And she said, well, then why are we so attached? And he said, well, because your energies match. So he wasn't just telling people what they wanted to hear. And it also goes into this whole idea of energy and how there is that one special animal in our lives a lot of times that you get attached to every animal that you have, but there's some that just really touch your heart in a special way. You know, so there's a certain energy match, I believe.
That is interesting. And of course, just as an aside, Pomeranians did exist during the Roman Empire, which is pretty cool. A lot of people don't know that. Pugs were also—
I did not know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And in fact, there is even a ghost story involving a Pomeranian. This was actually in one of my papers, but even pugs existed. Believe it or not, pugs go back to about 500 BCE. Pomeranians are just about as old. But there's a
wow.
A ghost story that says there was a Roman noblewoman who died, and they did what they normally do. They put her into a funeral pyre, but one of her shoes had fallen off. And it's a strange little ghost story, but essentially what started to happen was her ghost manifested in the house. And the way that the man found out was that her little precious Pomeranian, their pet Pomeranian, started to bark at the spirit. And so he turned and looked, and she was very unhappy because she was walking around in the afterlife with just one shoe, which in and of itself is another form of symbolism of being liminal. So one shoe on, one shoe off, you actually do see that in other stories. But the ideas, I mean, everything fit so nicely there with, of course, canine sensing the supernatural, the Pomeranian, the shoe on, shoe off, and of course, being delivered information that people don't know. So that is really cool. I love that connection. And yes, I can see a Pomeranian being a lion. So that would mean that animals then, it kind of moves along the Buddhist ideals then, that animals can also reincarnate. They can reincarnate as different animals. In Buddhism, they talk about how people can also become animals. And if you did really well, but you didn't quite make it, you might come back as somebody's pet. So they have that human connection. But that is interesting with Edgar Cayce. And of course, he's also called the sleeping prophet because of his trances.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cayce believed in reincarnation of animals, but not transmigration. So he felt like, you know, according to his philosophy, his way of seeing things, animals come back as animals and people come back as people, but they don't cross over. So just an interesting thing.
No, I love that. That really is quite interesting. So in other words, this Pomeranian could continue to reincarnate or incarnate as an animal, but never as a human.
That would be the Cayce philosophy.
Okay. Okay.
I wanted to circle back to something you said earlier about animals and, you know, with our modern life, how they really help us through. Edgar Cayce had a lot to say about nature and how nature is the special manifestation of God. And from my perspective, our modern lifestyle has taken us farther and farther away from nature. And the way that we make up for that is by bringing animals into our homes. And so they're kind of our representation of nature within our families. And that's a representation of God. So that's kind of bringing the spirituality of it, you know, back home as well.
I like that. And that is interesting because when I do teach on religious studies, we talk about new religious movements and things that have been happening with humankind and what causes issues with modernity. And you're quite correct. He is quite correct as well. It is the absence of nature. So the idea that you're in a cubicle and yet you have a calendar that shows beautiful outdoor beaches, you know, it's that idea that we are so removed. And I think in being so removed from nature, we see what man can make, but we don't see what the beyond has already done. It has really, I think it kind of created a shrinking of our understanding of the miracle of existence in many ways. And I think we've stopped attributing the beauty of existence to something beyond. We attribute it to ourselves now. And I think that is most unfortunate. Because again, if you ever look historically, biblically even, I mean, Moses out on the mountainside, right? Jesus, you know, goes out into nature. The apostles, at least Paul, you know, they are always having these visions in nature. So I can absolutely see where Edgar Cayce is going with that idea because it's an absolute fit. I think it's going to be interesting. I think we're hopefully going to find a new path and maybe find our way back there. But I think that's where we start seeing hydroponic gardening becoming so popular, house plants. And I love the pet idea. I think that's really cool. I must really want nature since I have the 6 bugs and a puggle and I have rodents and I have bearded dragons. I just, I've got them all. It's awesome. And that's really neat. Now, you are preparing for a conference. In fact, that's how I found you was through the ARE email. So can you tell us a little bit about that conference?
Sure. So this is going to be March 7th through 9th, so 3 days. And it's booked as Paws and Whispers Pet Communication Conference. So the way it's laid out is that Friday evening, I'm up first, and I'm going to talk about 7 holistic tips for a healthy pet, and talk a little bit about the Cayce readings and that little bit of philosophy that I just kind of brought in, but also some real life tips of things that we can do to help keep our pets healthier. And then Saturday is the Animal Communication Day. And we've got 4 amazing animal communicators. There's Sharon Day, Annette Gerwitz, Nicole Harp, and Deb Stanton. And all day long, you're going to get these different perspectives on animal communication. So certainly one of those will match with, you know, the person who's listening. So that's going to be all day Saturday. And then Sunday morning, I've got another little segment that I call energy acutherapy. So it's kind of like a combination of energy medicine and acupuncture. And so this is going to be in person at Virginia Beach, but also online. And people can find this at edgarcayce.org. And Cayce is spelled C-A-Y-C-E. So you got to make sure you get the spelling right. So if you go to edgarcayce.org, on the left-hand side of the homepage, there's a menu, and one of the options is events. And if you click on that, that'll take you to all the things going on, one of which is this conference.
Oh, and I misspelled that in the email. I am so sorry. I was trying to hurry.
Oh,
sorry.
That's okay.
But yes.
I didn't even notice.
Okay, yes. Yeah, but you are quite correct. And I think a lot of people might have missed that. So I'll try to make sure that I add that to the description for the episode as well.
Oh, good.
So how can people find out more about you? How can they reach you?
Yeah, well, I'm actually recently retired. So the best way to reach me is to be part of this conference.
All right. Well, congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, I can imagine. But you are a wealth of knowledge. So hopefully you'll keep speaking. I think that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, I love doing that.
Oh, it's the best part, right? We've talked about how others can find the conference. Is there anything that you want to leave with our listeners? Anything I haven't asked you that you think is kind of important that you kind of like to leave as a concluding thought?
Well, I think, you know, we were talking about holistic medicine and body, mind, spirit. I think, you know, really relating to your pet as a spiritual being, as a fellow spiritual being, I think is important. And I just loved your story about the Buddhist healing that was done. And there's just no doubt in my mind that that played a role in Odyssey's
his recovery,
long life. I mean, who would have thought? So, yeah, I really encourage that.
I did not expect it. Yeah. And it's quite true. As I said, I went completely without any expectations. I would have understood, and this was a different form of Buddhism. This is kind of the Americanized version. So I really didn't know what to expect. So there wasn't a lot of research that I had done because I wanted to kind of experience it as an observation. And I was not expecting to be a participant. I mean, that was just really incredible. And so I agree with you. I think there is that spiritual nature to animals that I think we're just starting to understand now, at least in the West. I think in the East has been a little bit more ahead of us in that one, but the West typically is going to say, well, God gave the breath to Adam. Oh, yeah, but he also created animals. So, well, let's give him some credit.
Animals have the breath of life within them as well.
Absolutely. They do.
And it was when God breathed the breath of life into Adam, that's when he became a living soul. So I think the Bible's clear about it.
That's it. That's it. Exactly. Well, I want to thank you so, so much for taking time. I know we've been going back and forth and you're in California and I'm in Florida right now. And so there's that time difference, but I am so glad we were finally able to connect. And I want to also thank Christy for her help with all of this. But it's just been really, really delightful. And I hope your conference is awesome. Can people get to it online and in person? You said it's both?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it's both.
Excellent.
So, yeah, if you can't make it to Virginia Beach, just type on your computer.
All right. We can do that. Locally, folks, if you are out and about, we are still practicing Valentine here. I do have the art show up at Art Lofts. We did one ghost tour. We are going to be doing a historical haunting ghost tour of Rosa Park on the 22nd. If you all have topics or ideas that you would like me to explore, please do let me know. And I am also very pleased to say that the Gulfport Gabber, which is a local publication of all things, has asked me to start writing ghost articles. It's basically historic haunt articles for them. And my very first one was based on episode 25 of this podcast, the Gulfport Casino's ghost cat, Morris the Cat. And so hopefully we will do a potpourri episode and I can kind of get y'all caught up with some of the things that have been written and that we have actually gotten a little bit of response from folks. And it's really funny. So until then, I want to thank Dr. Doug for being on here with us. And Mark, as always, he is a wonderful producer. Other than that, I'm going to wish everybody out there a very happy haunting. We'll catch you next episode.
Pet Life Radio presents Paranormal Pets, where you can always expect the unexpected. Each week, we'll discuss all aspects of weird or spiritual animal encounters, ghosts, totems, psychic animals, animal souls, animal angels, and animals in religion, with a little cryptozoology thrown in. Step into the supernatural world of pets every week only on PetLifeRadio.com.